As we begin today, I want you to go into, we're going to go to a couple scriptures, Colossians 3, 1. This scripture has been one of the most, I would even say, mysterious to me in that what it implies. And Paul, speaking to the believers, to the Colossians, says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." I want to bring something up to when about the epistles and the things that the disciples and the apostles wrote to us. Did you ever notice that there'd be a city, you know, the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Corinthians? And did you ever notice that the Lord didn't write, you know, when the word was being written, he addressed it to the Colossians on the east side or the Colossians on the south side? But every city had a church that God had planted, made up of multiple churches. With one truth, one bond, one Lord, one baptism. And I pray for the revelation that the church understands that as it sits before God, you know, it sits as the Church of Chicago, the Church of St. Louis. And I understand the individual members. I understand that we get into different things, but I just want to encourage you today that God is definitely, he sees things sometimes very differently. But therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, when it says to seek, because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but when I was a younger believer, I would read, you know, seek the things above at the throne room where Christ is seated, and somehow I would put the word dwell on them, but that's not what he says at all. In fact, the word it uses is one that you seek. When you seek, you find. And what I'm going to say to you today is really simple, and we're going to get into another scripture with this. If the Lord wants you to seek things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, we're talking about the throne room. But it means that there are things to be found, tangible, that can be used now. And we're going to get into this in a little bit. So there is an intimacy with the Lord, and he doesn't tell you to dwell on it. He tells you to seek, because he wants you to find different things in the throne room. Now, we know that there is a great parallel when we look at the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it says that even in the kingdom, it isn't about eating or drinking, but joy and the Holy Spirit. So the reality that I am looking into the throne room of where Christ is seated, and there is a connection because of the blood of Jesus. There is a connection because the Spirit that dwells in me, the Holy Spirit, it's like a fiber optic. It really changes the thing. Then it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. You know, our brother here, as he was taking the offering and doing communion, he talked about the devil preaches in the world all the time. The world has its own message. People are preaching. Whether they're preaching or not, they're speaking. And they're speaking, you know, what they believe. And they're speaking philosophy. And there is a lot of contending voices out there. You know, but the thing I'm thinking about the here and now, and that we have eternity in our heart, and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, and I thought, you know, the earthiness, getting weighed down with the things of this world, the here and the now, have one effect that I've seen again and again, whether it's in my life or other lives. It tends to do the opposite of the things you would find at the throne room. You can get so stuck in the world, even as a Christian. I'm not speaking about just you can get immoral or sin. Just the world you live in can taint you in such a way. We get earthy. We think about the things here and now. We think about, you know, what's going on. We think about this and that, and it has an opposite effect. We don't even want to seek the things where Christ is seated. We seek the things in the earth. We seek the things of here and now. And this is where there is a transition as well as a transformation in your mind, in the way that you see, in the way that you sense. What did Jesus say that if we believe in him, that him and the Father would come in and sup with us? Actually, it's a spiritual meeting, breaking bread in our spirit, directly in contact with him and the Father. And I want you to go somewhere, Luke 14:16. I realize that the cares of this world, the neutral cares, not the evil cares. Yes, there is bad things you can get into in the world, but I want you to go to Luke 14, and we're going to read 14:16-20. And I want you to look at this with me today. I think there's something really critical here. Luke 14, verses 16 through 20. Now, here he speaks of the parable, okay, guys, about the Lord inviting people in. Some people believe this is an inference to Israel being invited in, and we know that ultimately, even in this parable, we see the judgment of God. He says, but he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. They were supposed to be there. They belonged at that dinner. God wanted to meet with them. They were going to have a feast. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. And the reason I went here, because I realized that God invites us to be with him. God invites us to have a mindset. God invites us to connect with the throne room. And when I look at this parable, and we often use this of the need to be saved, absolutely. To have the garments of Christ on, absolutely. But if you notice, he's inviting the people that belong in this in the very thing. And there's 3 things that they bring up as to why they can't come. None of these things are evil in of themselves. I bought property. I bought oxen, which means I've got laborers. I got workers under me that I got to deal with. I married a wife. Relationship. And what's interesting is the things that cause these people to skip supping with the Lord, they're just normal things that we have in this earth that we deal with every day. Who doesn't deal with their property, the payments on the property, things that concern their life? Who doesn't deal with the issue of labor, being a worker, having workers and such? Who doesn't deal? I married a wife, or even just friendships, relationships, interfamily dynamics. Isn't it interesting that the very things, they are not evil in and of themselves, and yet they can be used to distract us from seeking the things we need to seek. Relationships, labor, what we own. I cannot come. Because these things have caught me up so much that I've allowed them to encompass me, surround me, and I've allowed them to give me such an earthy view that even when the divine king invites me to fellowship, invites me to listen, invites me to be with him, I am just too busy. I am too distracted to come to that table. Now, I bring this up because it's really important, because I know one thing. When Colossians tells me to seek the things above in the throne room of where Christ is seated, I understand that he's drawing me to himself. Even when we talk about prayer and get into prayer, get intimate with the Lord, I realize that there are common things and commonalities that we get into. And these things, many things, they absolutely make us so earthy good that we are of no heavenly value. Many times I've seen Christians say that thing to the opposite. They go, you know what? We can be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. And I had a sister say this to me many years ago, many years before any of you were around. And because I talked to a lot of people. And she said that, and my spirit kind of reared up. I said, I don't believe the church is near being so heavenly minded. It's not earthly good. I said, in fact, I find this statement completely off. You're wrong. We're not so seeking the things above where Christ is seated that we're no good to function in our normal life. What we are is we're tagged and tied down with earthly dynamics, and it has killed, it has extinguished, it has doused our flame and desire to be in that place with intimacy with the Lord, supping with him at his table. The church is in no danger in America of being so heavenly minded that it's any earthly good. The church is so earthly minded at this point that the world has come into the church. And God invites us to sup with him. Psalm 73 talks about the psalmist is troubled because he sees the world that he is in. He sees the wicked, that they seem to prosper, that there's no pains in their death. And then he says, I could have betrayed a generation. I could have backslid, I'm paraphrasing, until I came into thy sanctuary, God. When I came and I supped with you and I got in your presence, then I understood the realities on this earth. There's no problem with buying property. There's no problem with having a workforce or being part of a workforce. There's no problem with finding a godly wife or a godly husband or having family relationships. But if any of the three come at the cost of your time with Jesus, something is wrong with that. And it doesn't mean those things are evil. It doesn't mean you should not have those things, but it means the stewardship which you are showing with those things and being in the earth is actually causing you to stumble. They weren't meant for that. Buying property is not a problem. Having a wife is not a problem. Having a workforce is not a problem. Having good relationships with your family, whoever, whenever, not a problem. The stewardship with everything we do in this earth is really going to reveal how we're using them. Because again, there's not a darn thing wrong with the things the three people mentioned. But what is wrong is they are not taking the invitation of God because of those things. Mm-hmm. And they are not listening to God's invitation because of those things. We have to start saying in our life, these things in my life that are normal. Because I think a lot of Christians, they don't want to cheat on their taxes. They don't want to lie. They don't want to do this. They don't want to kill nobody. And they go down the list of moral goods. And yet, the scripture calls us to an intimacy with the Father and a connectivity with the Father that has nothing to do with whether you're lying or not or whether you're killing somebody. If the Christian begins to seek the things above where Christ is seated, he will find that very throne room in his spirit. He will begin to see from that throne room. God blesses us with many a good thing, and he always have. And more so than not, I have seen people backslide. We are definitely in a form of the apostasy right now. There's no doubt about it. It's just another leader that had helped many in the gay community just apologize for his faith. These dominoes are tumbling left and right. Now, that's fine. People tumble every day. But I realize that so many people are not seeing from that place where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Their view is skewed. Many times their view is part Christian, part world, part logic, part this, part that, and it's not really seeing the way that God desires them to see. But all these things are a blessing and can be really good, but a lot of it is stewardship, and we are in the earth, absolutely. So we deal with every issue named in the excuses. We are in the earth, but we are not of it. That's why it says our citizenry is from heaven. It's interesting. You take a foreigner, everybody's foreigners, aren't they? My grandparents were immigrants, both sides. In fact, my father was first generation born here. And we realized that, and I remember my grandfather, he missed what they called the old country because he wasn't from here. And he always missed it. And he thought about it a lot. And when he'd get a letter from the Czech Republic, he would be really happy because he would, it was somebody from his actual home versus somebody from here. And you look when it says we are citizens of heaven, we are strangers and we're foreigners here. And all his life, he always valued home. He valued his original language all his life. He thought America was a great land of opportunity, but it wasn't the old country. In the same way, we believers, we get so enmeshed, so comfortable, wrapped up here, we forget where we come from. And in a way, when you look at seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, it really reminds you, in a way, it is that connectivity that reminds you of your citizenry and who you actually are. Because once we begin to get muddled with the cares of this life, we actually begin to forget our origin, where we come from, and who we are. And once we do that, if you don't know who you are, you don't even know what you look like, you don't know where you're from, you don't know what your origin demands of you. Because you forget. I see Christians do it all the time. Now, when I say no, most Christians can quote every fact I just said, and they can confidently quote them and say, amen. But if you can't see with your eyes the facts that you quote with your mouth, then there's a form of blindness that has already set in. And this is what's really critical. Keep seeking the things above. Set our mind. Now that's another thing, and we'll get into that in a second. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated. Raised up with Christ. You know, it's interesting. The day I came to Christ, the fact is, according to the scriptures, Mike died. The old Mike died. He was dead and buried in Christ. There is not a better undertaker in the world than Jesus. He will definitely take your old man and he will bury him. Now, you can try to dig yourself out. People do that, and we've all done that. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is an amazing undertaker. It says that I've been raised with Christ. So in the other reality, again, we quote these. We don't think about them much because they're easy to quote. They're kind of, we say they're in our foundational part of being born again. And I want you to look at something. But this is where this reality gets really, really something else. The man that is raised, the new Mike that is raised, is going to have a new appetite, hunger, is going to live by faith, no longer by sight, has been regenerated and made supernaturally by God's Holy Spirit. So the other part is, as we've come to Christ, as we've been raised up with Christ, there's a reason we're seeking the things above, because we're not from here, we're from there. And our orientation and all that we know is not from here, it's from there. So seeking the things above where Christ is seated and then setting our minds speaks of your existence. It speaks of how you see. So I'm both seeking and I'm setting my mind. I want to say this. I truly believe that we believers, through God's supernatural spirit, can see from the throne room view. I do. I believe that we can see from that place high above. All authority in the highest throne in the universe, the throne of God with the Son at the right hand. And I actually believe we are supernaturally tapped into that. Supernaturally tapped into that, okay? As we are tapped into that, we start to see how God sees. We start to relate how God relates. But this is actually regenerative. This is supernatural. It's miraculous. It has to do with the day you were actually born again. I like this fact because there are times where I'm sitting in this earth and there are times where I'm all, you know, I'm looking at something a particular way, whether I'm upset or I'm angry or whatever, and then all of a sudden I see from God's perspective. My emotions change, everything winds down. I start to see it more clearly how God sees it. It changes my actions. But seeing from the throne room view is really critical for believers. Not simply, what would a Christian do? Because I don't always like the game of imitation, because I believe God is transforming us inside out. So it isn't just about saying, I'll look at these principles or these rules, and then I will look at them, and then I will imitate what I see. Because the interesting thing about it is the Lord is in us through His Spirit. I want you to think about this. What do you got in your life going on today that maybe you need a heavenly perspective? Maybe you've been praying, but God really wants to do something in your spirit. He wants you to seek the things above. He wants you to see it from His throne. And you'll be shocked at sometimes how your view switches. Even as a believer, you'll be shocked at how the Spirit of God comes down upon you and suddenly you see. I remember praying for an adversary once after I got born again, and I could still grudge, so can we all can't we? We're great at wrath, we're great at holding a grudge. We're great if we are wronged, we want, you know what I mean? We want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I remember the Lord showing me somebody how they were lost, and in the old world, I would have absolutely not liked them, I would have not forgiven them, there have been nothing. But then I suddenly got the throne view, and their greatest problem wasn't that they wronged me, their greatest problem is they needed to know Jesus. And then I start seeing differently. And I'm reminding of where I come from, who I am, and I see it from a different place. Having the mind of Christ, I got to tell you, it says that we have the mind of Christ. And it's like a lot of the things we read in scriptures, it's done for us. But we need to walk in it. It might be put in us, but we need to acknowledge it. And here's the other thing. I look in the throne room, you know, and this is really important to me. What's in the throne room? Think about this. Well, the one thing that I know in the throne room, take a look in Revelations and get into the throne room. It's not, I mean, the word throne room isn't, I don't know, it's such a big one, isn't it? I mean, room sounds, this is a room, or that's a room, or the sanctuary is a room, but this is different. But I want you to think about something. One of the things in the throne room is everything centers around the throne of God. All attention is on the throne of God. Every activity in the throne room that is around the throne is aimed at the throne itself and Him who sits on it. You know, for many years, people understood theocentric life. And the theocentric life was God, you, your authority, and all your power and your throne is the center of my life. So my life centers around you in the center. Now, this is not rocket science. It's not difficult, because the one thing in the throne room is everything in that room ascribes glory to the thing that is in the very center, the throne. In fact, when Jesus said, two more gather, I will be in their midst, even that term is the term of a king sitting on a throne in the midst of his subjects. And I've always told people, Jesus will always be in our midst as a king and nothing less, but even more. So what do I find in the throne room? I find a throne in the center and everything bows. And what do I find in the throne room? Everything bows to the authority on the throne. Everything bows to the Father. Everything bows to the Son. What do I find in the throne room? I find confidence. If you are in the throne room, do you think you're worried that the devil might be greater than Him who sits on the throne? Do you fear the adversary? Do you fear devils and demons? Do you fear your enemies? When you look in the throne room, do you realize that it is God who reigns supreme in all things? See, we get in troubles upon this earth. We get weighed down with troubles. We get weighed down with different concerns. But if we were to see it from the throne room, a lot of those concerns would go away. Even though they were happening, even though we were dealing with them, we would have a confidence, we would have a peace. There is a greater peace to be harvested, and I want to encourage you to not only seek the things above where Christ is seated, but you need to see the things above where Christ is seated, and then you need to see your life through that filter. Unquestioned authority. Nobody in the throne room is arguing about, is God the greatest? Is Jesus really on the right hand of the Father? Is Jesus really Lord of all? Do all things ascribe and do all things submit to the throne, whether above the earth, below the earth? There is no question of the authority of God when you sit by His throne. Because you see it, and everything bows before Him, and you understand it. So, everything in the throne room is God-centered. Everything in the throne room bows down because it understands there is no authority but that which God possesses. So it's unquestioned authority. Everything in the throne room is throne-centered, theocentric. It goes around and everything is focused on the throne. And the fourth thing I listed, and there's a lot of things you could list, I only listed four. Everything in the throne room says that God is in control. These are pieces of things we need to grab. And I've got to explain it to you. As we grab these things, we are going to change the way we do things. You know, many times we're on edge, we're nervous, we're paranoid, we're freaking out, because we get in this earth and we just study what we see with our eyes so much that it just blinds us. We can't see beyond the imperfection. We can't see beyond our inability. We can't see beyond the threat we think that is posed to us. And we're not seeing it from the throne room. One of the reasons fear, obviously fear is not of God, and we all know that in this room, all of us. But sometimes to see from the throne room, to see from the place where Christ rules and reigns, is one of the best cures for fear. We have to make sure we don't always chase a symptom, but rather get to the cause of certain things. But as it tells me, to set my mind on the things above, because the Lord knew there would be a temptation for His people to get set on the things of the earth. And He knew that if they did, they would become earthy and they would become counterproductive and they would get weighed down with the affairs of this life. Oh, one thing I wrote down too, it's actually a fifth of God's throne room and seeking the things above. What's in the throne room? The presence of God, the glory of God. The kind that brings you to your knees. This is the place where we wish to set our mind. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, these are easy things to quote. I've quoted them for decades. Okay? But here's the reality. When it really talks about I'm hidden in Christ, you know what? I'm going through the things with Christ. I'm going living this life. He is in me. I am in Him. We are walking forward. We are not afraid. We are understanding from the throne room. And we are walking in the glory and the presence of God. Now this, the part where I said the presence of God, well, you're like, of course you're in His presence. You're seeing His throne. The Son is at the right hand of the Father. Of course you're in the presence of the Lord. And this is one of those parts where as the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you get filled with the Spirit as a Christian, there is a, I call it a fiber optic tie to where it's like you can be in two places at once. One of our feet is in the throne room and the other foot is walking in this earth. But understanding our origin, understanding how it all takes. There are things that God would wish you to enjoy in this earth. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with an oxen or working. There's nothing wrong with property. There is nothing wrong with marriage or any godly relationships you're in. But when any of these things become to a point where the focus is such to where we abandon God or abandon the invitation to His table, then we're not understanding why He even brought those things. And the very blessings that God gives, He wishes those things to steer us back to Him, not take us away. You know, it's interesting how many times I've seen I've seen people get a career or get a job, and before you know it, they're all distracted and God plays less of a part. The very thing that He brought them, the very prosperity that He brought them. How many times have I seen believers get caught up in the things, the affairs of this life to where they are choked out, they're bearing no fruit. The good news is the Scripture speaks to these things because the Lord knew that His people would have to contend with these things. He knew that there would be times where He'd have to right the ship, where you would realize how distracted you got, even with neutral things, even with things that weren't evil in and of themselves, but your stewardship gets to a point to where they literally drag you down to where you're no longer even hungry for the things of the Father. I often pray for the presence of God and the manifest presence of God and the weighty glory of God because I know in the throne room that's all there is. The presence of God, the glory of God, the authority of God. And I often want us to walk, and I'm not telling you to always walk in some feeling, but at the same breath, I've sat with the tangible presence of God for many years. And it is good to know that He is near. We need, and I wrote a note here, decisions made from this place above. Absolutely. Priorities need to be ordered from the seeing from the throne room. Our beliefs need to be ordered seeing from the throne room. You know, it's interesting. The church is in an era to where it's debating immovable truths that are to never be altered. And yet it banties about and it messes with these silly things and believes it can alter this and alter this. And it's moving an eternal boundary that can never be moved. We're already seeing people with their eyes so much in the earth that are Christians, that say they are Christians, that they're not getting beliefs from the throne room. They're getting beliefs from each other. Mm-hmm. Right now, our faith, many attributes of what people are talking about and reducing truth, is an actual sign that we are garnering our beliefs from this guy said this to this guy, and now we believe what he said, and we are passing information horizontally, but not vertically. We are even preaching from our own spirit to each other's spirits, and the throne room in many times has been axed out of the equation. We need beliefs from the throne room. Beliefs from the throne room are not alterable. They're not watered down. They're not maybe, if. They're yay and amen. That's a fact. Because beliefs from the throne room also realize the authority of God. And if God says it, God says it. If He doesn't, He doesn't. We live in a mortal world, but by no means are we mortal men. but rather have an eternal spirit and have been given the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to dwell in us and to dwell around us and to keep us focused. As we close today, ask yourself a simple question. What am I seeking? What is my mind set on? These two answers will give you an answer many times to the full parts of your life. The earthly things that God has given us to enjoy can be just that, blessings to enjoy, work, relationships, even investment. But we were never to be possessed by our possessions, but we were rather to possess our possessions. And then God is to possess us. Some people say it's hard, this balance, and I say, no, it's not hard at all. If you've allowed the increase that God has brought into your life to become a distraction and has become something to cause you to not seek the things above, then there's a problem. And if you find yourself doing neutral things that have disengaged you with the Father, then you need to think again. And you need to say, Father, you know what? I've allowed these blessings you've brought, and the subject matter is even a biblical one. It can be a good one. But why is it funny when I'm doing this, I'm absolutely beginning to lapse my time with you. I'm lapsing my mindset. And I'm thinking in the here and now so much that I'm not doing a dark thing for your kingdom. And I've become numb to seeking out the things in the throne room. Christianity will never just be a noun, but also a verb. And it is never a word that simply gives a title of what we are, but it also is a word that gives a title of what we are becoming. It's a moving word many times, that word Christianity, to be a Christian. It's moving, it's moving, it's moving. And it's progressing, and it's going forward. But again, remember, the three excuses that got the people out of the supper table with the Lord, all of them, none of them were inherently evil. None of them were morally wrong. But all of them had taken a priority in a place that was wrong. Think about this for a minute. And I love in his closing when the people bring up their thing, the reason why they won't come, and they say, please consider me excused, meaning it is all right what I'm doing of why I won't come to sup with you. It is all right. Please consider me excused. It's valid. What I just said makes it valid that I will not come. But the problem is, the master never said, you're excused. Did you ever do that? You tell somebody, you've got your child, you say, you know, sit in that seat, don't move. And they kind of wander off after a few minutes. You go, I said to sit in that seat. Mm-hmm. You really weren't excused. If you get out again, we're going to spank you. Many parents will do that because they really weren't excused at all. You know, it's funny. Sometimes we are like the little kids, aren't we? Sometimes we're exactly like the little kids. Well, let's all stand. I believe God wants to elevate our thinking. I really do. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. That's not even the point. I believe he wants to elevate. There may be an area as we close in prayer that you may have a hard time with. You're having a hard time seeing. You've seen it from the earthly view. It troubles you. But the Lord may want to show you something from his view. In his view, he's on the throne securely. In his view, he is getting ready to move. And it may surprise you. Because sometimes what you see in this earth isn't always what is. Nor does it always represent the activity of God. Sometimes the Lord is moving in ways that you're not seeing. But just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not happening. Father, I read this scripture through many years, and it's often baffled me a bit just because of the language and what's implied. And it's, Lord, as I see that I want to seek the things. That word in the Greek, it means to actively continue to do it. In fact, it means to make it a habit in life. A habit, not a one-time event, not something we did 20 years ago, but it becomes a normal part, a part of the fiber that makes up our daily life, to seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Translation, the throne room. Lord, there are things that will absolutely sometimes trouble us. Absolutely trouble us. There are things that will sometimes trouble us, but we need to see from your throne room. I am asking even today, even today, that you would, if necessary, renew our vision. Sometimes in areas we get so hung up in the here and now. I know that. Sometimes we have dynamics and relational dynamics and money dynamics that seem to want to draw our attention away. But Lord, that we would use the blessings, the things that you've given our lives. We don't want them, that you want them to be a plus to our walk with you, not a minus. It isn't about eliminating these things, but it's just about seeing them in the proper perspective, in the proper light. I pray for those areas, even as we pray right now. Everybody in this room has something that they've looked at that's challenged them, that has even maybe scared them. But help us to see it from your throne. Help us to see it from your throne. As we go today, Lord, I pray a spirit of encouragement on every person in this room. And vision, God. Vision, God. Lord, there are people we are praying for even right now that you already know what's going to go on. You know what you're doing in them. Maybe we've seen signs that are discouraging, but might we take our cues from your throne room instead of from our discouragement, from our doubt, from our unbelief. Might we see it from your throne room. I pray last but hardly not least, we are a people of your presence. We are a people that can walk in your glory. And that is absolutely something you're calling us to. So I pray a touch on every heart this morning. Something special would go on that maybe we wouldn't even realize until tomorrow or next week, but that you're putting a supernatural fill in there that absolutely changes our view. It shows us from a better angle. Lord, in photography, they always talk about, you know, lighting angles and this, but in you, it's the same thing. Heavenly lighting, divine angles. They truly change up the game. Lord, as we go today, I thank you for everything. I so appreciated the stuff was spoken this morning before the offering and communion. It was powerful. We need that. It's good to hear that stuff. It's good to hear from your throne room. Again, bless us as we go today. Touch us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.